Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and choking up there right as I start talking here. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word, and we are glad you're with us today. What an absolutely gorgeous day it is out there right now, looking out the windows of the studio here, And there's a few clouds rolling in here and there, but sun was popping out here and there today as I was out and doing things, and just nice. I mean, surprisingly nice, pleasant, mild day outside. And I guess tomorrow's supposed to be a little bit warmer, but I guess some more rain and stuff rolling in. Why am I not surprised? But, at least it's not snow and ice right now, but I'm sure that will be coming, I guess. Coming up next week, we're supposed to be having some more cold weather and more snow and more wintry weather coming back up. So I don't know if we'll be dreaming of a white Christmas this year or realizing a white Christmas. We'll have to wait and see. I think I heard somebody say one time that in northeastern Ohio, it's usually about a 40% chance for a white Christmas. Not that every year it's 40%, but 40% of the Christmases, I guess, have turned out to be white Christmases. So, anyway, we are going to be talking, continuing our conversation. I was talking several weeks off and on about end time events and things that are happening, and I'm going to jump back into that. Had a little diversion from that last week, but I'm going to pick up where I was on the Friday before or just after Thanksgiving, talking about events leading up to the return of Christ, and then where I started with this a couple of months ago actually was headed toward the millennial kingdom and the new Jerusalem and some things there. So we'll get into that in a minute, but let me just encourage you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find out more about me, more about the program, and you can also listen to past programs there. If you're not aware, we have a 2-hour program every Sunday night starting at 10 o'clock, runs till midnight, and we have 2 hours there, and those are also available online at livewithpastoral.com, and from there you can link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, which is a main sponsor of the program, and there you can find out more about our church. We invite you to visit us at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We are located, as the name says, in Richfield, Ohio. We're near where 77 and 271 cross at the corner of Wheatley Road and Brecksville Road. And that would be in a little commercial strip. It's we're at Suite 200, and I mentioned that because we've had people who've looked for a separate standalone building, and you're not going to find us that way. You have to look for our door. But we're at 4174 Wheatley Road. That's 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200. We have a Bible study tonight, and that's about a 2-hour Bible study. If you can't stay for the whole 2 hours, that's fine too. Sometimes we have people who come for an hour and then they have to leave, or they come a little bit later because they can't get there as early. But that starts at 7, runs till 9. It's an informal Bible study, and you can bring your questions about the Bible, current events in light of God's Word, and we have refreshments and things like that. So it's all informal, and just come and we have some conversation about the Word of God. I don't set the study and say tonight we're going to talk about. We talk about what's happening and what people want to talk about. So that's a great time to come and ask questions. And then on Sunday, of course, on Sundays I am preaching Sunday morning in our 11 o'clock service, currently preaching through the Gospel of John, and then on Sunday evening, I'm preaching through the book of Proverbs. And let me tell you, If I didn't preach through books of the Bible, and I like to do that because it helps keep me straight and it helps keep me focused on what God wants, and rather than just picking out the three or four topics that I want all the time, and it helps me to preach the whole counsel of God. And Proverbs is a challenging book at times to preach through. Some of it's easy, but some of it's kind of challenging. And some of it is, I look at it and I tell our people, I say, you know, if I wasn't preaching through the book of Proverbs, this is probably not a passage that I would have picked. I would have saved it for some other time, which probably never would have come. But so we preach through the Word of God, and if you're looking for a church that holds up the Word of God, and we use a King James Bible, I appreciate what Pastor Lutz was saying in the last half hour in his program about the King James Bible, and we take a very strong stand on that as the Word of God, inspired, inerrant Word of God, preserved in the English language for us today. And I remember what I heard J. Vernon McGee many years ago, because he always used the King James in somewhat different reasons than what myself, Pastor Lutz, and some others have used. If you listen to Bruce Musselman here on this station, Where Is God's Word? And he's with the Lord now, but He Being Dead Yet Speaketh, his programs still go out over the air. And you've probably heard some things about it, and we're along those lines. In fact, I used to help Brother Musselman with his program. And of course, Pastor Lutz attended classes, was one of his students. So we're very similar in much of what we teach, along the lines of what Bruce Musselman taught. Having said that, J. Vernon McGee, I remember hearing him one time, somebody asked him about the different Bible translations and why he used the King James. And I always loved what he said. He said, you know, I taught Greek and Hebrew in seminary. And he says, I taught it, and I don't feel qualified to teach it, to retranslate the scriptures, because I don't measure up to those people that translated the King James Bible. And by the way, that's a excellent thing to look into sometime, the history and the background of the people who translated the King James Bible. These people were preeminent world-class scholars of their day in the Bible languages, and not just the Bible languages, but many other languages. Some of these people were reading and writing Hebrew and Greek when, you know, you and I were still struggling with our ABCs, it seems like. So I remember J. Vernon McGee saying, I don't feel qualified. I taught to Hebrew and Greek in seminary, and I don't measure up to these people. And then the part which was the best, he said, you know, some of the people behind these modern translations were my students, and quite frankly, they weren't that good. So I thought that's an excellent reason right there. But there are other reasons, certainly the fact that God promised in Psalm chapter 12 that he would preserve his words from that generation in which they were given, that he would preserve them for all generations. And so you can read that in Psalm 12. That's not my topic today. Maybe we'll revisit that again sometime in the future. But let's have a word of prayer, and I want to touch on getting back to some of these end-time events. So let's go ahead and pray. And we'll jump into this here today. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Bless the program. Use it for your glory. Help us point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And just thank you for the opportunity we have. We just pray you just bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And also was going to mention that Pastor Lutz is on here earlier. Of course, he pastors the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio. I'll be out there for their Christmas program, however we call it, coming up tomorrow. So pray for me, pray for them. And we're looking forward to that, being there with the folks at North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. All right, let me get into Revelation chapter 19. And this is an area that I mean, this is what I like. And I mentioned earlier, I like to preach through books of the Bible because it keeps me from preaching and teaching only on the three or four things that I like the most. So when I'm on the radio, I tend to get into these topics a lot. But I had started a couple of months ago trying to get to the idea of the millennial kingdom of Christ and some of the people that would be there, who would be there, and how that works out. And then and it was going to lead into the New Jerusalem and the new heaven and the new earth and all that. It's going to be in eternity in the future after the great white throne judgment. And in doing that, I had to start going back and going over things dealing with the rapture, the catching away of the believers, which will happen, according to the Bible, prior to the seven-year tribulation period. And then we talked a little bit about the seven-year tribulation period and how you'll know that it started. And the chief way, of course, is identified for us in Daniel chapter 9, which, of course, gives us the fact that it's 7 years. There's other passages indicating that, but the primary one, Daniel chapter 9, where Daniel had a vision or a set where he was told that there's going to be 70 weeks that were determined upon the Jewish people and upon Israel, upon Jerusalem, in Daniel chapter 9 verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. And so this 70 weeks of years in this vision of Daniel in Daniel chapter 7 it's not 70 years, it's weeks of years. And it's not 70 weeks, I should say, but 70 weeks of years. And so we've got these 70 weeks, and the end of it is that the sins of Israel were going to be taken care of, and they were going to welcome their Messiah, and to an anoint the most holy means that he would rule and he would assume his position as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, ruling from the throne of David. Because remember, he said that it was going to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and the prophecies, of course, that Jesus would, that the Messiah would come and rule over the world from the throne of David, Jerusalem basically being the capital city of the world during the millennial reign of Christ. And so we have these events taking place, and there was a pause in these 70 weeks of years that took place after Jesus came and was cut off, but not for himself, the scripture says, because he died for you, he died for me, and he shed his blood on the cross in order to pay for our sins. And then he was buried, and he rose again the third day, victorious over sin and death. He defeated the devil at that point, and so really everything now is kind of like a mop-up operation, because the devil is defeated, but the devil doesn't want to go quietly into the night. He's fighting every step of the way. And we're entered into a parenthetical period known as the age of grace or dispensation of grace. A lot of people call it the church age. And God is currently working through Christians. And that is going to end when the rapture of the church takes place, when born-again Christians are caught up out of the world. That's an event that's described for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the latter part of both of those chapters, as well as elsewhere, and Titus 2:13, I believe it is, it's called our blessed hope. We're going to be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. We will be in heaven with the Lord during a period of time that begins on earth after that, known as the tribulation. Now, it begins, as we've talked already, I know I'm doing a lot of review right now, but it begins with not the catching away of the believers, but with the revelation of the Antichrist, and that will be when he signs the covenant, or agrees to the covenant, confirms a covenant with the Jewish people for 1 week, which is 1 week of years. That's the 7 years of the tribulation period, and you see that in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, where he says, and he, talking about the one who will be the Antichrist, the prince of the people who come, and it says, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even in the consummation, and that determined report upon the desolate. That's when he'll go into the rebuilt temples. We've talked about these things. There has to be a Jewish presence in the land. And there has to be a Jewish control over Jerusalem and the Temple Mount, where the temple is going to be rebuilt. We've not seen the temple rebuilt yet. That could happen in any number of scenarios at just about any time. It could happen before believers are caught out of the world. It could happen after the believers are caught out of the world. But when it when the 7-year tribulation period begins, it'll be a confirmation of a covenant between the Antichrist, as he's referred to in Revelation, the beast, with the Jewish people during that 7-year period. And the midpoint of that is equivalent to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where he's called the son of perdition and the man of sin. He enters into the temple, and this is where he does what Daniel said, where he causes the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. And that's when he declares himself to be God, shows himself as God, as Paul wrote to the Thessalonians there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And this is also when Jesus had warned the Jewish people, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. And this, I believe, will be at the midpoint of the tribulation, because it says 3.5 weeks. And that's half of 7. And that'll also correspond to Revelation chapter 13, where the false prophet has on the scene, and he creates an image, builds an image to the beast, whether it's of the beast or something that the beast holds as symbolic or whatever, but they cause, I think personally, be an image of the beast, kind of like the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar built back in Babylon that Daniel talked about. And remember, when the music played, everybody had to bow down and worship it. But it might be something like that, but it has power to both speak can talk as if it's alive. Well, we can certainly see that today with the technology that we have. And so we see these things happening, and everybody's commanded to worship the beast, and that's where the mark of the beast, the infamous 666, is instituted there at the midpoint of the tribulation. And it's not going to be something where you wake up one morning and say, how'd that get on the back of my right hand? Or look in the mirror and say, how'd that 666 get on my forehead? Who did that? No, it's going to be something that apparently, when you compare what the scripture says, it's going to be something that you take as a symbol of your allegiance to the Antichrist government, and recognition that you believe he is God and you will worship him as God. And Revelation 14 tells about people who will be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity because they received the mark of the beast and they worshiped him. And so that's the danger there. It's not going to be something that you accidentally get. You're not going to get a credit card in the mail that starts at 666 and say, oh no, I received the mark of the beast. No, it's going to be something, it'll be an active declaration. And if you don't, well, capital punishment would be in order. Specifically, the Bible talks about beheadings. Well, we talked about the Jewish people, and you can find an article on my website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, that I wrote back in October, I believe it was. It said, and so all Israel shall be saved. And I go into that, the what'll happen, the fulfillment of Paul's statement in Romans 11, where he talks about that one day all Israel will be saved. And so we get into that, and I cover some things in Zechariah, and that's where we had left off. I know it's a long intro. It's been a couple of weeks, but I won't have time to get into too much here more. But the Jewish people are going to see him, and they're going to realize when Jesus returns at the end of the tribulation that he is indeed the Messiah, the one that they had rejected. And in Zechariah chapter 12, 13, and 14, we see them mourning over him, and they realize that he is the Messiah, and that they could have received him, and their forefathers could have received him rather than having rejected him. Well, let me go to Revelation 19 here. And Revelation chapter 19, it says, after the marriage supper of the Lamb, that's what's going to happen to believers in heaven. We're going to go to the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to receive rewards based on faithful service. And then we're going to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then after that, it says in Revelation 19, verse 11, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And, you know, people every once in a while ask, is there animals in heaven? Well, there's horses, because we come out of heaven on horses. But continue on, verse 15, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, he should rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It continues, I saw an angel standing in the sun. He cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and them that sit on them flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And you know, when you compare this with Zechariah chapter 12, 13, and 14, we find that they're attacking Israel and they're making war. And when Jesus returns in clouds of glory with the armies of heaven behind him, they turn from their desire to destroy Jerusalem and the Jewish people. They turn and they make a feeble, vain attempt to attack God himself, to attack Jesus and the armies that are with him. And it says that in verse 20, and the beast, that's the Antichrist, was taken, and with him was the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake burning with fire and brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Now, this is quite a picture when you think about it. Let me go over to Zechariah here. In Zechariah chapter 12, in Zechariah chapter number 13, 14, let me see here. We will go down to Zechariah chapter 13 here. And this is when Jesus comes to the earth and fights in this battle here. And 2/3 of the Jewish people who are alive at the beginning of the tribulation are going to die, and 1/3 will make it to the end of the tribulation. And those are the ones that will come to Christ. Now, some of the ones that die during the tribulation no doubt will be martyred because they accepted Christ. And as Jesus returns and we come into chapter 14, he sets foot on the Mount of Olives. It says in Zechariah 14, verse 1, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoils shall be divided in the midst of thee, and I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, half of it toward the south. And this is interesting, there's a fault line exactly running that way, that if it was triggered, the Mount of Olives would cleave in the midst, just like it says here in Zechariah chapter 14. And when Jesus comes and he begins to fight on behalf of them, It'll be a glorious thing. And listen to this in verse 12 of chapter 14. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord shall smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And they literally melt right there. If you ever saw the scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark when they opened the ark, they must have read this. But you know, you can avoid that. You can be on one of the horses accompanying the Lord on the winning side if you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I hope you've done that. I hope you consider the claims of the gospel this Christmas season. Thanks for listening. Join us next time. God bless.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.